a faith-building anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me. You believe that? Listen, if you believe it, you can receive from it. Now, you could also say it about you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me. And He has got you here today to receive from this anointing that you might go and give from your anointing. Did you know that? That's exactly what it's all about. That's why we still keep these up. Every saint a minister. Every saint a minister. By the way, do you like the Yeshua as Lord? We need to get it a little brighter, but that's really good. Because if you don't believe that Yeshua is Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means He's God, then you really aren't saved. But if you believe that Jesus is Lord, that He's God, that's how you got saved. You believe that. Confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. That's the way salvation came to you. And you know what we find out is that everything that works by faith, and the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. By the way, just so you all know, I told Cherie she doesn't have to go every time that baby peeps. Because we all are adults here, and we can listen right past the peeps. And besides that, sometimes she's saying amen, I can tell. I speak baby. Amen. So don't get alarmed if she makes a little noise, because I want her to be able to stay and not leave. And not only that, you know, babies, even little babies, can figure it out pretty quick. If every time they give out a little peep, mama jumps up and goes, then pretty soon they're giving peeps just to see mama go. Right? So today we want to start again with the core scripture that we know is true. And that scripture is in Proverbs 10 and verse 22. And it's just good for us to say it together because it's a confession. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Let's say it all again together, unison. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. We're talking about the blessing. The blessing. And the blessing is made up of all of the blessings of God, all of the promises of God, all of the good things that God does. Every good gift, the Bible says, and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. How many of you know that God is not variable? That's good. He's not a variable God. And what that means is He's not like us. Because we vary, don't we? Have you varied yet today? You know, most of us vary because when we get up in the morning, a lot of times we get up and we say, oh God, morning. Right? Instead of good morning, God, we say good God, morning. Right? We shouldn't do that. That's variable. We need to learn. You know, I'm so thankful that we have seasons in our lives and things change. You know? And for those of you that don't like mornings, I've got a word for you. Things will change one of these days, and morning's going to start becoming your time. Right now, you can't see it, but it's going to happen. It really is. I know, because I was you one time. I used to hate morning. I used to just hate morning. I got up because I had to get up. When I got up by an alarm clock every morning. That was the only way I could get out of bed, was with an alarm clock. But I want to tell you something. You'll have a season in your life where one of these times you're going to start waking up about 4:30 and say, is it morning yet? You look over, well, maybe not yet. Is that you, Lord? Or no, I'll just sleep a little longer.
Well, if you do nothing else today, you just make
a sale. Good. Because He knows that's right, doesn't He? Yeah, that works. And, you know, here's the thing about it, you know. I find out now when I get up a lot more positive than I used to. I just get up ready to go. Amen. I get up and I'm ready to go. Now, some of you never had this problem. But you remember, I grew up on a farm, and I always had that problem living on the farm. I hated to go to bed at night, and I really hated to get up in the morning. I wanted to sit up and burn the midnight oil, and then it didn't make any difference whether I wanted to sleep in or not. You just didn't do it. You know that. You just didn't do it. And a lot of times the dad would say, get up. I'd think, you know, you're out of your mind. It's not light yet, you know. But that's the way we lived. But I'll tell you, things will change. And the attitude that we can have will change. And the blessing of the Lord is in all of this. God's good. He never changes. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. God is good, and He wants you to know His blessing. He addeth no sorrow with it. This blessing is received by faith. We've taught it through this set. I think we're probably up to 18 or 19 messages about the blessing now. Somebody said that's too long a series. I'm not teaching to make people happy about my series. I'm teaching. Actually, you know what we do here, don't you? This is Bible school. This is Bible school. The way we teach it here, you could get credit hours for it if you maintain and listen and fill it in. Now you say, are you accredited? Well, no. Except with Him. He gives the credit we care about. But if you know, if that's important to you, we probably could work something out for you. Because we really do teach with scope and sequence, don't we? We try not to go through anything and just to get you through it. I'm trying not just to titillate, not just to tickle your ears. I'm trying to build your faith so that you can walk in what we talk about here. This is a revelation about the blessing of God. And we found out also as we've looked at this that faith, if you really want to have faith for the blessing in your life, you need to learn to walk in love. If you're always criticizing everybody around you, if you're always down on everyone, and listen to me now. I said I knew about the part about not wanting to get up in the morning. I know the part about how hard it is not to love people too. Sometimes it just isn't easy to love. Sometimes it's really difficult to love. And sometimes if we don't watch ourselves, we get into a place where we just assume that because we're right. How many of you are right? Most of the time you are. Now admit it. You're right. Just because you feel right doesn't mean you can get mad at everybody that's not. Just because I'm the best driver on the road. I'm an excellent driver. How many of you ever saw Rain Man? Did you ever see Rain Man? You remember who said, of course I'm an excellent driver? Well, that's me. I'm an excellent driver. But you know what? Just because I'm excellent, I can't get angry and mad and down on everybody else that's not an excellent driver. And I have to tell you that many, many people today are not good drivers. You all notice that, haven't you? They don't drive on their side of the road, right? They either drive too fast or they drive too slow, right? That's just the way it is. You say, why do you talk about that? Well, that's a real easy one that most everybody can relate to if you ever drive. You're running into people all the time. But just because I'm excellent and I observe the speed limit and I signal before I change lanes, right? I don't tailgate. I stop at stop signs. I come to a complete stop at stop signs. You ever do that? Try it sometime. It's really neat. Most people don't, especially in Grand County. Those are suggestion signs, right? But you see what? I can get all angry about it. And you know what? There's one thing that God didn't call me to be, even though sometimes I feel like He should have. He didn't call me to be a state patrolman. Because if He did, there'd be lots of plates coming off licenses, you know. But because I'm good, because I do things right, I don't have a right to not love. Now, I said all that just because in the life that we live, there's always going to be a lot of opportunity to criticize and judge. Are you listening to me? People around us give us a lot of opportunities to criticize and judge. Preachers give us a lot of opportunity to criticize and judge. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. It says, to him who extends mercy, to him will mercy be extended. So my job is to love, and how should I love? Well, the Bible says I should love my neighbor as myself. That's tough enough. And then Jesus had to come along and make it tougher. He says you need to love them like I love them. And I preached a message one time, God loves and I love. I want to get that down inside of me. The way God loves is the way I'm supposed to love. And I talk to the Lord about this often. I'll say, Lord, help me to love them like you love them. Help me to see them the way you see them. You know, it's easy in church to love one another, right? But boy, sometimes it's hard when you're standing in line and somebody pushes their basket into the back of your leg, you know, or cuts in front of you. That sometimes, you know, you don't feel like loving them. But you know what? That's when you're supposed to love. And you've got to look at Jesus when they were yanking the beard off of his face. He loved them. When they nailed him to a cross and were standing down there jeering, mocking, ridiculing, he looked down and never answered but said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I even see Jesus different than I used to see him with the scribes and the Pharisees. I used to think he said, you snakes, you defiler. You know what I see him doing now? I see him walking up and saying, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, don't you know better than that? That's the way I see him now. I see him with an altogether different look in his eyes, not anger, but care. Now, I'm saying that because it's so important that you get it down inside of you that faith works by love. And the blessing can only be entered into by faith. Moving mountains only works by faith. The moment you get back into unbelief, well, you can just believe your mountain's going to get bigger, right? But if you'll walk in faith, your mountain will move. We looked at the fact that there's a tithe connection. We saw Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. And as soon as he did, Melchizedek began to speak, this priest of God began to speak to Abraham the same blessing that God had given to him. And he called Abraham, Abraham, this he interpreted a little bit. He says, you're possessor of heaven and earth. That's how big the blessing is. How many of you believe that God wants his body on this earth to possess the earth? That's right. He wants them in control. He wants his body in control of this earth. Now, we don't believe that we're supposed to usurp this authority. We believe we're supposed to take it in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Things will change when we do that. We found out that we are empowered to have dominion to expand the kingdom of God, or we've looked at this week after week, that the kingdom of God was the Eden blessing. The Eden of the earth was to be expanded throughout the whole earth, the kingdom of God. And we found out that this happened, according to Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world. We found out that we're already called. We're already anointed. We're already blessed. The blessing's already on us. But the problem we are dealing with always is bringing that from the legal realm to the manifest realm. By his stripes, you were healed. It's a fact. You were healed. We have to bring it into the manifest realm. Cherie shared with us today that sometimes that's done by refusing to let the devil continue to deceive us with lying symptoms, devouring roars. It's whom he may devour. We've got to decide he's not going to devour us, right? And then we found out in 1 John 3:21 that if our heart condemns us, we can't have confidence toward God. But if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence. And this is the thing that I believe we need to move into. Believe we need to come to the place where we have a mindset change. Instead of going around acting like I'm looking for the blessing, I'm looking for the blessing, I want the blessing, have the mindset that I dwell in the blessing. I live blessed. The blessing of the Lord is in me. The blessing of the Lord comes after me. It's always, I don't have to look for the blessing. The blessing is there, but I have to conduct my life in such a way, my faith life, my love life, right? And my giving of myself life in such a way that I open the door for the blessing to become manifest in me. Now, when we don't do these things, anytime we fail, what do people start saying? Oh, I blew it. Oh, I'm just a mess. My life is such a... You hear people say this all the time. My life is such a mess. And sometimes they really are. I'm not saying that they're lying. But I'm saying that they just continue to reinforce what is. My life's a mess. My life's a mess. My life's a mess. Well, that would have been like Abraham walking around saying, I have no kids. I have no kids. I have no kids. God wanted to make sure Abraham didn't do that, so he changed his name to Abraham. So every time anybody asked Abraham, who are you? He said, I'm the father of many nations. That's exactly what he said in Hebrew when he said his name, Abraham. I am the father of many nations. And they look behind him, and there's that poor little old scrawny Ishmael walking along behind him. And they said, that doesn't look like many nations to us. Now, I don't know that Ishmael was scrawny, but he just one single child. But God said, no, you call yourself father of many nations. And Abraham began to say that wherever he went. He quit saying, my life's a mess. He started saying, my life is blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the morning and I'm blessed in the evening. I'm blessed when the sun goes down. Amen? I think somebody wrote a song about that, didn't they? Bless him in the morning, bless him in the evening, praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening. Amen. So here's the thing that we've decided we have to be. We have to stay confident that we're blessed. I'm confident. And the things that I've done wrong, I put them under the blood immediately. How do you do that? Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when I do that, I can kick condemnation out. And I can bring confidence to the surface. I begin to have confidence. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I can say things like this. God loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. You say, is that true? Well, we read about it in a couple weeks ago. We studied that. But the Bible teaches that Jesus prayed, that, and while He was praying, He said, you love them as you've loved me. Isn't that right? You love them just like you love me. God loves us so much because we're in His Son. He loves us. So we found out then, if we can be confident, we can begin to receive. And receive means the manifestation. We receive the manifestation of what God said. Now, what was the blessing again? Just as a quick reminder. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. And He said unto them, be, okay, first item, fruitful. Second, multiply. Third, says replenish, but really the word just literally means fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion in the earth. That's the blessing that God wants. So when I say God wants us to possess the earth, that's exactly what He told Adam, wasn't it? Adam blew it off. God began to do a system of sacrifice to forgive sins and began to reestablish the blessing. And everybody he talked to that would listen to him, he'd repeat the blessing. He told Noah about it. And then, of course, the next big one we see is Abraham. He speaks it to Abraham. Same words almost. Going to do the same thing. He said, I'm going to bless you and all the earth is going to be blessed by you. Why? Because you're going to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. You're going to subdue evil and have dominion over everything in the earth. That's the blessing. So we're confident of this. And He never changes. We've already talked about this morning. He never changes, neither does the blessing. Jonathan was telling me last week, he said, you know, I saw it today and I'd never seen it before. When you were talking about Abraham's blessing, He said, I always thought, well, that was Abraham's blessing. God will have another blessing for me. He said, I've never seen in the Scripture before that what Abraham was blessed with, all of us who believe like Abraham did are blessed the same way. And that's what we wanted to get across. If you believe like Abraham did, you can be blessed like Abraham. And we already said this. God taught Abraham how to receive the blessing. He taught him how to do it. And the way he did it was by changing his name. He taught Abraham to begin to speak good things. Now, let's listen to a couple of verses. Christ hath redeemed us, Galatians 3:13 says, He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I want to ask you something. Is there still a curse of the law? It's still out there. The curse of the law is still out there. I don't claim it. Amen? And you shouldn't either. There's still a curse of the law. But Jesus was made a curse for us, for it's written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, say the blessing of Abraham, say that. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Whose blessing? Abraham's blessing, which was also Adam's blessing that Adam blew off. God reestablished it again in Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham, and why does he call it that? Because Abraham was the first one that really took hold and believed it. Noah did good, but Abraham really took hold of it. Abraham really grabbed on. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the blessing and the promise of the Spirit are the same thing, aren't they? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For what saith the Scripture? Romans 4:3 now. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. First one that was ever spoken about. Romans 4:17, the 17th verse says, As it is written, I have made or I have called thee a father of many nations. How did he do it? Changed his name to Abraham. That's what that means. Father of many nations. Before him or like him, if you read that out, As it is written, I have called thee a father of many nations, before or like him whom he believed, even God. So he called him a father of many nations, and Abraham began to call himself that, like the father whom he believed, who quickeneth the dead. How did he quicken Abraham? The Bible says his body was as good as dead, being 99 years old. His body, he quickened his body, his dead body, and calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls things which be not as though they were. Well, what do you mean he calls things? He called Abraham, father of many nations, before Abraham had children by Sarah, didn't he? He called him that. Now, he's teaching Abraham to do the same thing. God taught Abraham how to receive the blessing by faith. And when we do, we said this last week now, when we do the same thing that Abraham did, we'll get the same results. You believe that? If you do the same thing that Abraham did, why? Because the blessing, the same blessing that was on Abraham's on you. Abraham was the father of many nations. What did that imply? That he would be fruitful, that he would multiply, that he would fill the earth, that he would subdue and have dominion in the earth. Now, how about us? What are we supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be fruitful? Yeah. And for most people, that means having children too, doesn't it? Having children. It doesn't for everybody according to the Bible, because Jesus said some men are called to be eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. So some people may not have children. But for most people, you know, it would imply that too. But for the ones that don't have children, we have a very good friend that has no children. And yet she's called Mama by many. She adopted children. Never legal adoptions, but she adopted them into the kingdom. She led them to Jesus. How many of you have ever heard of Mother Teresa? As far as I know, she had no natural children, but she had many, many, many children of faith. And so, fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. What were we talking about this morning, speaking to mountains? That's subduing, isn't it? That's having dominion, isn't it? Did Jesus say that? Yes, that's exactly what he said. In fact, he said this. This is almost frightening. He said, "The things that I do, shall you do also." And you know, the reason I always bring this up so often is because people have a tendency when they see Jesus raise the dead, they say, well, he's the Son of God. Of course he can raise the dead. Right? He opened blind eyes. Well, naturally he did. Because he's the Son of God. But did you know when Jesus was walking on this earth, he had left his office, his prerogatives as the Son of God back in heaven? And he walked the earth and what did he call himself?
Son of Man.
Son of Man. Ben Adam. That's what he called himself. Ben Adam. You know what he's called? The second Adam? He's called the Son of Man. Ben Adam. So everything that he did here on this earth, he did after the Holy Spirit came upon him when he came out of the Jordan River. All of his miracles. I don't care what the Catholics say, the grass in his manger did not turn back green just because he was the Son of God. No. That didn't happen. The miraculous began in his life when he received the anointing. And it was after that that he walked in and he began to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me." Then things begin to happen. And he says to us, "Be filled with the Spirit, and the things that I do shall you do also." Can you open blind eyes? Absolutely. Can you raise the dead? Certainly. No doubt about it. Somebody said, but it seems so far-fetched. Why does it? Just because you haven't experienced it yet. But I tell you something, you're going to. A lot of you are going to see blind eyes open when you put your hands on their heads. Touch them. Some of you are going to see the dead rise up. I believe before Jesus comes back to this earth, there's going to be a lot more of the miraculous taking place among the saints. And the reason it's going to begin to happen more is because it's being preached more. And preaching is meant so that we can hear, because faith comes by hearing. You say, boy, it sounds fanatical. Remember, we're fans, right? How many fans do we have here this morning? Good, good. Say, yay, Jesus. Praise God. That's right. We're fans of him. So, if Abraham learned to call those things which be not as though they were, and we're the children of Abraham, if we walk in faith, then that's what we need to begin to do too. The same results. The same results. The Bible says in Romans 4:20, that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. And the promise was the blessing through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Say, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I mean to tell you that means you just absolutely push all doubt out of the way. Remember, it doesn't say that doubt can't assail you. It says you just don't allow it. When doubts come, you just push on through. Just push past them. You need to understand this. Because a lot of people think, well, because a doubt still gets to my mind, then somehow I'm not involved in this. No, you're involved in it. The devil is always going to cause you to want to think about what might happen. But you've got to begin to just push it out of the way, and you push it out with the Word of God. You get fully persuaded that what he's promised, he's able also to perform. So put this word in your mouth. Remember what we were saying today? Jesus said, say to the mountain, put the word in your mouth. He told Joshua this. He said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Right? Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Let's just look at it. I hadn't put it down, but let's look at it today because it's such a powerful statement of what Abraham learned. He says, yes, keep this book of the Torah. Torah, remember, doesn't mean law. It means the book of my instruction. On your lips. Keep it on your lips. That means talk about it. And meditate on it once in a while. Is that what it says? Meditate once in a while?
Day and night.
Day and night. How is that different from once in a while? It really is, isn't it? It's what occupies your thinking. And Carl Lockwood used to always call this mull it over. That's a good way to talk about meditating. Mulling it over. Mulling it over. Bringing it up into your mind and talking about it. Say it. Mutter it. It says, keep it on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. So if you want to get to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, here's the way. It's told you right here. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. You shall think upon it. You shall talk about it, mutter about it, day and night. See, when it's on your lips, you're making some noise about it. Doesn't have to be loud noise, but you got to be making noise. You got to be talking. You want your own ears to hear. As Bethany said, I'm hearing me. I'm hearing me. You want to hear you say God's word. And when you say God's word, he says, then you'll make your way prosperous. And then you'll have a good success. That's what we're talking about. Putting it in your mouth. James had a really good thing that he said in James chapter 3 and verse 14. He's talking about how people sometimes get all into strife and bitterness. And we especially see this with people, spiritual people, that they'll get bitter. I've seen people go into a healing service and see someone that maybe they, either a brand new Christian or somebody. I saw a spiritualist medium receive a healing one time in a Catherine Coleman meeting. Now, what do we know about mediums?
God.
It's an abomination to God, right? Not of God, it's an abomination to God. In fact, in the Old Testament, God said, you don't allow a witch to live. And that's roughly what a medium is. Someone that contacts, supposedly, the dead. The Witch of Endor contacted, supposedly, the dead. What they are contacting is evil spirits. And that's why God doesn't want you to pay any attention to medium. I saw a spiritualist medium receive a healing in a Catherine Coleman meeting. Now, there were other people there that were in wheelchairs that believed in Jesus and trusted him. And I don't know that they did, but it was an opportunity for them to get into bitterness, right? Why? Look at her. I mean, she testified right there, I'm a medium. Now, before she left there, they prayed with her for deliverance, and she received Jesus as her Savior. But it's just amazing. This woman somehow, during that day, whether as a gift or something stirred her faith to believe God, got her healing. But somebody like me, who had been believing for a healing, I could have been there, sitting there, going like this. Well, the very idea. What's the idea of giving her a healing and not me? And I could have gotten into strife about it. Now, it's not just talking about just in this way. Any bitter envying and strife in your heart, no matter where it comes from, will cause you problems. In fact, the Bible says it becomes a root of bitterness that defiles many. But it says, don't allow, if you allow this in your heart, don't lie against the truth. How would you lie against the truth? What might you say? What might somebody say if they saw someone get healed that they didn't think deserved it and they knew good and well they did?
That is a lie against the truth.
It is, isn't it? Because nobody deserves it. Not a one of us deserves it. God gives us healing by His grace, His mercy. And you know, this happened with the Pharisees, you know. They got all upset. Mary came up behind Jesus and started to wash his feet with the tears from her eyes and dry them with the hair. And you remember what Simon said? Simon said if he was really a prophet, he'd know that this woman is a woman of bad reputation. Remember that? Got strife in his heart about it, didn't he? Remember how Jesus said the Pharisees do, "I thank you, Lord"? By the way, this is many, many people get into this. "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other men. Not even as this publican. Because I tithe of everything that I own." Somebody might say, "I pray every day. I give every day. I study the Word every day." Does that make you deserving?
No.
No. That's a lie, see? And you see, when you begin to do that, sometimes we lie against the truth. Or we might say, "I guess God doesn't always heal." Does God always heal? Well, it depends on how you look at it. I believe healing is already given. I think the job of getting healed is our job, receiving it. And you see, that's done by faith. That's done by trust. "I guess it's not God's will." The Bible says it is His will. Who are you, lying? If you say anything that's contradicting the Word of God, you're a liar. Because you can't make God a liar, because He never lies, right? So the Bible says in James 3:14, don't lie against the truth. Now I want to take you very quickly into the specifics of the blessing, and I want to show you how we can begin to maintain this trust in our life. Remember a while back we talked about praying. We talked about hearing God especially. In fact, we spent several weeks talking about hearing God. Hearing God. Hearing God. Listening for His voice. Being attentive to His Word. Being attentive to His voice. And hearing Him even more than we talk to Him. Being more concerned about hearing than saying. We talked about that, didn't we? And it is important. Now, I'm not saying we aren't supposed to say it, but I'm just saying that was part of our teaching. But you know what I find is, you get away from any teaching that anybody's received for a few weeks and people begin to forget about it. They may have got a glimmer of it during the time, some got a lot and began to really put it into practice, but many are not practicing it anymore. So we have to remind. Here we've been talking about the blessing. The blessing, and it's ours. How many of you believe it's our blessing? It's not just Abraham's blessing, it's our blessing. But what I find is that when people get away from the church, people get away from the Word for a little while and aren't studying this, if they don't keep it before them, eventually they'll slip around and they'll start talking like, "Oh, I'm just under the circumstances. Just everything comes down on me. I just don't have any good luck at all." You hear people talk like that all the time. In fact, I was thinking the other day that my dad said one time, years ago, I still remember it, somebody asked him what he would do with $1 million, and he says, "Oh, I guess I'd just keep farming till I spent it all." Well, you know, that wasn't a very good confession, was it? Now, that had been his experience, that it costs more to farm almost than you made. And sometimes people want to talk their experiences. But we aren't supposed to be talking our experiences. We're supposed to be talking what God's Word says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night." Now, what those people had at that time, they were just finished, they had just finished up, Moses had just finished speaking to them and teaching them the first five books that we now call Torah. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what he had spoken, and he finished that in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. But in the 28th chapter, which is almost at the end of it, now remember, then Joshua took over and God said, "Now this book shall not depart out of your mouth." What's he talking about? Well, Moses said, "This book shall not depart out of your mouth." They had this pretty fresh. It had been written down and recorded by Moses. Now, he told him in verse 28, or chapter 28, and verse 1 of Deuteronomy. And I want you to bear with me on this and go through this with me and see if you can pick up what he's saying here. This is so powerful. He said, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And by the word that, by the way, that word for hearken diligently is Shema. Shema, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. hear the voice of the Lord your God, and observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now he's talking to Israel, but we found out as we study that those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, the father of Israel, right? We're blessed with him. So we've been grafted in, even though we don't know our lineage. You know, people try to get their lineage today, and if they can get back, I don't know how many generations, but it's tough. It's really tough because, you know, record keeping fouls them up. But you see, God was keeping records. But we don't know that. But we're part of Israel because of Jesus Christ. So he says, I'll set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings, now these blessings are not, any one of them is not the blessing, but all of them together are. That's what he's going through here. All of these blessings, what's contained in these next verses is the blessing. All these blessings shall come on thee. They shall come on thee. What does that mean? What am I doing? Am I looking for blessings? No. I'm observing God's word. I'm looking for him. I'm studying to show myself approved to him. I'm just looking to God. And while I'm doing that, he set us as a nation, the nation of Israel, the nation of his people, the nation of his covenant, on high. But these blessings start coming on me and overtaking me. That means I can be going along at a pretty good clip and God's blessings are faster. Right? God's blessings are faster. Keith Moore talks about the blessing truck. You remember when we talked about the blessing truck? It'll run over you. And that's good. You want to get run over by the blessing truck, right? Well, that's what this is talking about. They'll overtake you if you shema, you hear, you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessings, say blessings. Well, blessings speak of, these blessings speak of fruitfulness, don't they? They speak of fruitfulness. Listen to how they go on. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, verse 3. That even means Grand Lake, little city. We're blessed here. So when are you in the city? I'm in the city right now. I'm blessed here, right? When I go into Denver, I'm blessed there, right? When I go into Kansas City or Detroit or Miami, I'm blessed there. I'm blessed in San Francisco, even though San Francisco's not my favorite city anymore. But I'm blessed there, right? I'm blessed in the city. And I'm blessed where? Where? Where else? In the field. Well, farm kids know all about the city and the field. I had to drive through a bunch of fields to get from the city to my house. So out in the country, I was blessed. Now, when you're in the field, generally that's where you plant seed, right? So you're blessed there too. And generally, if you think about it, a person that's got this agricultural mindset, in the field, you sow and reap. In the city, you trade for goods. And I'm blessed in both of these activities. I'm blessed when I sow, I'm blessed when I reap, and I'm blessed when I go to exchange my goods for other goods. You know, we've told testimonies about how God can bless a little or big. You know, I told a story one time about buying a whole suit for $20. And the only reason I did is because Henrietta could hear from God. I didn't hear him. I looked at the suit hanging on the rack and I said, well, it's too small for me. The size said it was too small for me. And Henrietta saw $20. And she says, I think you ought to try it on. I was in the city. I was in Boulder. Not my favorite city either. It's a pretty city though. But I walked in and put the slacks on. And they fit. They were too tight. They should have been too tight at that size, you know. But they fit. And then, of course, you know, I started to get this feeling of, you know, how you kind of get goosebumps sometimes when you know God's doing something. Put that coat on and it looked tailor-made for me. The only thing that had to happen was we had to have the length adjusted just a little bit. And I don't remember if they let them out or take them up. But that was the only adjustment had to be. It was like that suit had been hanging there waiting for me for $20. Well, you see, God can work that way with a little bit, or He could have just as well given me a $500 suit. He does that too, see. Sometimes He'll just give people. A lot of folks that I know have had clothes given to them that amount to a whole lot that God just blesses them with. That's being blessed in the field, being blessed in the city, being blessed in what you do. So this is what I want you to see. I want you to see that blessings are coming after us and overtaking us. I wasn't even looking for a suit. He just found me, right? Because my wife could hear from God. It's good to have wives that can hear from God. It's good to have husbands that can hear from God. It's good to hear. Amen? We need to hear what God says. Now listen to it again. He says, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. What would that be?
Children.
Blessed. You got children? They're blessed. I said they're blessed. Don't you dare call them little demons. You quit that. Don't you dare tell them they'll never amount to anything. Don't you dare call them knuckleheads. Dummies. Don't do it. They're blessed. Your children are blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Remember, fruitful and multiplied. Here we see the multiplied, your basket and your store. How many of you have a basket and a store nowadays? Keep your stuff you need for right now in a basket and the stuff that you're going to need for later in a granary. How many of you do that? Not very much. You guys are getting closer. They're getting closer. They're getting some stuff. But you know, every one of us nowadays has that we use for right now. And, you know, it's all right to store some up, isn't it? Is it all right to store? Yes, it is. It is. Even Proverbs teaches about how ants do that. You know, they store up for the winter. Ants are diligent. I believe the basket in the store today could be your checking account, your basket, and your savings account, your store. You see that? Maybe your whatever you're putting away for retirement years, although if you go here, why we don't allow anybody to retire. Everybody has to keep working until Jesus comes, right? Been a few left because I think I preach that too much. We don't believe we're supposed to retire. We believe we're supposed to refire. Amen? Verse 6 says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Did you know the opposite side of that is taught in the curse? When you come in, there's nothing but dread. All you got there is a nagging wife when you come in, right? I said, when you come in, you got a nagging wife. But not my wife. She hears from God. I just want to make sure he's listening. And when you go out blessed. You go out doing your job. And how many guys do you know nowadays say, I hate my job. I hate my job. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If your job isn't what God has for you, He'll get you a better one if you start talking about it. God's got something in store for me. God's got something good. But I'm going to be faithful in this job right now. I'm going to do it faithfully until I am promoted. I'm blessed when I go in to my house. My house is full of blessing. It's full of shalom and peace. And when I go out to do what I do outside, I'm blessed out there. And I speak those blessings. I begin to talk about it because I'm multiplying. I'm doing things God wants me to be. I'm blessed and I'm filling the earth. Say, fill the earth. Verse 7 says, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face." How many of you got an enemy? You do. You know all of you have an enemy. It's what the Bible says the devil is. He's an enemy. He's an enemy. And I go around a lot of times and I repeat Psalm, 118? "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies." The Bible says your enemies are going to be smitten before your face. How many of you know that's happening? Did you know what the Bible says? Jesus says, "I'll give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." So when I'm stomping around here, it's not just because I'm heavy-footed, it's because I got an enemy under my feet. Amen? You need to think about this. This is what God said. I didn't say it. Pastor Terry just preaching it. God said it. The enemy is going to be smitten before your face. "They shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee seven." I heard somebody one time that had a vision of Satan, and they were on this ship. And on this ship, Satan began to just roar on this ship, and the waves of the sea began to crash in, and Satan was just making all this havoc and everything. And finally, some little insignificant person on the ship stood up and said, "In the name of Jesus." And he said, "I saw that roaring beast just shrink down to like a little mouse." And he said he just began to scamper all over the place, just run around trying to get away from the name of Jesus. Well, you know, that's really the way it is, people. We sometimes get the devil and God because we've seen too much Star Wars. And we think that there's two sides to the force and they're equal. They're not equal. I said they're not equal. God's able with His Word. And He will, with His Word, utterly cast Satan into the bottomless pit. He'll be subdued. And listen, His name subdues him today. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. He'll cause your enemies to flee before you seven ways. That's subduing the earth. The Lord shall command, verse 8, "The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouse." We already talked about that. "And in all that thou settest thine hand unto." I like that promise. Everything I start to do, when I begin to do it, all I have to do is just get some direction from God. And whatever He says to do, it'll prosper. That's right. Whatever God says, He says, whatever you set your hand to. He says, wherever you set the soles of your feet, I've given it to you. Whatever you set your hand to, it will prosper. He will bless you. He will bless you in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 9 says, "And He will establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee." If you keep the commandments of the Lord, say, "Well, I can't always remember all the commandments." Can you remember to love? Can you remember to love? Because you know what? If you'll love, you'll keep the commandments. If you'll just walk in love, you'll keep His commandments. If you'll just continue to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another as Jesus has loved us, guess what? You're going to keep the commandments of God. And you know what? That's having dominion, isn't it? I'm having dominion over everything by love. Love never fails. Did you know the Bible says that? Love never fails. Never fails. Verse 10 says, "All the people of the earth," read that with me, "and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." Now, I want to stop on afraid of you. I don't believe you're going to walk out and everybody's going to cower. But what I do believe is that they will see the Lord in you and be in awe of you. Do you believe that? That's what the blessing of the Lord will do for you. It'll cause people to be in awe. People will be able to see the blessing. Why? It's manifest. It becomes manifest in this way. Do you remember how people looked at Abraham? And they said, Abraham, you got more than we do. They told Isaac, after Isaac took over, the king Abimelech came to him and said, Isaac, you're making me look bad. Move away from here. Remember that? He said, you move away from here because you're making me look bad. Because Isaac had so much, it said that the king of the Philistines, Abimelech, envied Isaac because Isaac was so blessed of God. And in comparison, Abimelech, the king of all the land, was envious. Think of that. Verse 11, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Why would you want to be plenteous in goods? How many of you think you ought to have a storehouse for your goods? I want to have a Joseph storehouse. Amen? I got me a Joseph storehouse. I got some beans in it. I got some rice in it. I got some stores in it, some food in it. And the Lord's blessing it, making me plenteous. Well, you can only eat so much, Pastor. It looks like you've been eating more than you should. It's not for me. It wasn't for Joseph, was it? What Joseph was storing up wasn't for him, it was for others when bad time came. Will there be a time in this earth again when we will need some of these things? I believe it. I believe we'll need to have some for others. Remember, you shall be a blessing. You'll receive a blessing and you shall be a blessing, is what God told Abraham, and therefore He's told it to me too. Verse 12 says, the Lord shall open up unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give you rain upon your land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend. I want to stop there for a second. You shall lend. Well, if I've got a storehouse and you're in need, guess what? I can lend, can't I? I can lend. I can give. I can give. I want to be a lender. Did you know that that's one of the reasons Hitler hated the Jews? Because the Jews had become lenders. They were money lenders. They lent a lot of money. And as far as he was concerned, because they had made a lot of money too, in lending a lot of money, he began to hate them. Well, they knew something, you see, about this blessing. And everywhere they go, they seem to prosper. Have you ever noticed that? The Jews just start prospering again. I mean, even when the devil's trying to beat them down, they find ways. They're industrious and they begin to prosper. Well, God wants all of His people to be that way. He wants us to be lending. And I used to read that and I got to tell you, I'd think, well, and I shall lend unto many nations. Well, that must mean just a nation could do that. And then I got to seeing something. I don't know if any of you know this, but Bill Gates' foundation now is giving something like 70, I believe it was 70 billion that they're giving away. I just saw it yesterday on the news. And I began to think, well, even 70 million, you know, you could lend that to another nation and it would help, wouldn't it? Especially some of the nations of the earth. You could lend that to them. You could give it to them. And I began to think, you know, maybe that's why Christians don't have much, like most of them anyhow, haven't come to the place where they're involved in this yet, is because we've still been small. All we're thinking is, well, I could lend you a couple hundred. Maybe I could lend you 1,000, you know. But, you know, God's thinking things like to give and lend unto the... How does He say that? He that lendeth unto the poor... See... That's part of it, but it also says the Lord shall repay in another place. He that gives to the poor, that's what it is. He that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. The Lord shall repay. And so that's what I think we ought to be doing. A long time ago, God gave me a glimpse of this, but I've got to tell you, it hadn't materialized until just recently. I began to see, you know, why not? Why couldn't believers as a group begin to accrue and store up the blessing of God so that we could give in a time like this big time and do it right. You know, the first thing you found out down in Haiti was it wasn't just a matter of getting stuff down there, it was getting it distributed, right? And now, you know, we're hearing about stuff that's stored up that they can't get to the people and people are dying. Would be something if we were doing it right, wouldn't it? How many of you believe you could? If you had more, you could do more, right? Verse 13 says, by the way, it says, and you shall not borrow. And you shall not borrow. That's what the blessing will do for you. It'll bring you to the place where you're just a lender and not a borrower. No more borrowing. Amen? Praise God. I like that. Deuteronomy 28:13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You want to be the head? Why would you be the head? Because you're in Him. He'll make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt shema, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words. Remember? From any of the words. We don't go aside from His Word. We're not lying against the truth. Remember what we talked about? We're not going aside from His Word. We're continuing in His Word. Don't go aside from any of the words which I command you this day. Any. Say any. You know, the reason I have to bring that up is because there's been a bunch of theologians that have kind of divided the Scriptures into dispensations. And they kind of tell it some of it's for somebody and some of this is for somebody else and some of this is for someone else. And I remember a fellow by the name of Cash Amberge saying this. He said, they kept telling me, well, that was for the Jews and that was for the prophets and that was for the priests and that was for the apostles and that was for the 70 and that was for the 144,000. He said, pretty soon I didn't have anything left but leather covers. Nothing was for me. And he said, I decided they were wrong about it all. It's all. Say all the words. All the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left. That means don't deviate. Don't go after other gods to serve them. I mentioned it earlier. The curse is still out there. I say the curse is still out there. And you can read about it by taking the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and reading on from the 15th verse to next to the last verse in that 28th chapter. It's all about the curse. And if you think the blessing's good, and it is, well, I want you to know the curse is absolutely bad in the opposite way. I mean, there's no good in it. Everything's bad. Instead of your enemies being afraid of you, you're going to be afraid of your enemies. The Bible says when you go in, you'll wish it was, go to bed, you'll wish it was morning. And when it's morning, you'll wish it was night. That's how bad that's going to be. It's still out there, but we are blessed. Say, I am. The blessed of God. Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He's made a curse for me. The blessing of Abraham has come upon me because I believe, because I trust. And because I trust, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm blessed always. Everything that I set my hand to will prosper. Now, these are just ways for you to start speaking and maintaining. What is the trick about maintaining your trust in the blessing? Talk about it. Talk about the Word. Remember, the Shema doesn't really end with the way we do it. The Shema goes on for a number of verses. The full Shema says, you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your being, with all of your resources. And He said, these words that I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall talk about them. First, He said, you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk about them. When? When you go out when you come in. When you lie down, when you rise up. So here I am. I'm going out. I'm coming in. I'm laying down. I'm rising up. Talking about the Word. Talking about the Word. Talking about the blessings of God. Talking about His teaching and instruction. Talking about what He says is mine. I'm saying it over and over and over again. It's not just so I can hear it, because I'm teaching my children also. I'm teaching my children and my children's children. Do you remember God said about Abraham? I know Abraham because he will teach his children and his children's children after them to observe my ways. And that's the way we want to be. Abraham's blessing is mine. Are you confident of the blessing? Let's walk in it. Let's maintain it. Amen. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Have you ever heard anybody say when somebody leaves, and I have to tell you, I really adopted this saying. People leave, I'll say, take care. I want to tell you today, no more. No more take care. From now on, I'm going to say cast care. Amen? Cast all your care upon Him. Amen? We don't want you to go taking cares upon yourself. I want you to cast all your cares on the Lord. That doesn't mean that we don't do things in a responsible manner, if you think of careful that way. But I don't want you to begin to think that I'm going to be filled with care. Remember Martha? Oh, Lord, make Mary help me. I'm busy. And she's not helping. But what did God say? Martha, Martha. Mary's chosen the good thing, and it shall not be taken from her. And that's the way I'm going to be. Talking about the Word. Listening to the Word. Speaking the Word. Talking about the Word. And when it comes to care, cast it. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Look up at the screen, Proverbs 10:22. Say it out loud and say it like you mean it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Say, I have the blessing of the Lord. It makes me rich, and He adds no sorrow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We thank you and praise you for it today. We thank you that we are the blessed of God, that all of the blessings of God come after us and overtake us. You've blessed us. You've made us the head and not the tail. You've made us above and not beneath. You've blessed us in the city, and you've blessed us in the field. You've blessed us in our baskets. You've blessed us in our storehouse. Everything that concerns us, you have blessed. And Lord, because we are blessed, we will be a blessing. We will be a blessing. We're going to spread this good news. We're going to spread the truth. Lord, your blessing is salvation. Your blessing has brought us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. We're going to spread it. Teach it. Take it everywhere we go. Talk about it. Bring others to the full knowledge of the truth. Father, we pray for the lost today. And once again, Lord, we're asking you to give us eyes and hearts for them that see as you see and feel as you feel. Lord, help us to have a complete transformation of heart so that no judgment, no criticism, no ridicule comes out of us. In all that we do, Lord, we will love. And the blessing of God, the blessing of God that makes us rich and adds no sorrow to it, Lord, it'll go forth from us. And it'll bring others into this same light, into this same love. We thank you for it and praise you for it. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Now the Lord bless you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone that receives it said, Amen.